Good evening, everyone. This is Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. Welcome, everyone, to my Sunday evening show. Tonight's topic is going to be, we're going to discuss budgeting. And I know that's simple, particularly for you experienced financial people, but the many times that I have workshops and book signings and just talking to people, one of the most difficult things for them to do is to budget, to have an actual, tangible, visible, workable, usable, any adjective you want to use, budget, on a monthly basis. And what happens is they always tell me they get started, they have it, they get started, maybe a month or two, maybe three, maybe even half a year, and then that's when the problem comes. It's tedious. You have to be disciplined. And so we're going to discuss that. We're going to talk about some tricks, some tools, some strategies, things that you can do that will allow you to be more consistent with your budget, will allow you to not only be consistent with it, but maintain it for a long period of time. So we want you to move from those bad habits, or that bad habit of not having actually having a budget, to the good habits of having one and having it for a long period of time. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But I want to give you a little information. Again, this is Derek T. Billups Sr. I'm president of the Foundation for Financial Fitness Incorporated, a New Jersey nonprofit. You can reach me at area code 856-577-2903. My website is www.f4ff.net. Also, my email is financialfitness@f4ff.net. Just a few housekeeping things. Saturday, October the 1st, going to be at the Collinswood Book Festival in Collinswood, New Jersey. I think that's on Haddonfield Avenue. Those of you that are familiar with New Jersey, and more specifically, familiar with Collinswood, we're going to again be in Collinswood, New Jersey at the Collinswood Book Festival. That's going to be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Haddonfield Avenue in Collinswood, New Jersey. So join me there. There's going to be a number of authors and artists and just people there. The weather's nice. It's going to be a great day on the outside. We're going to take over Haddonfield Avenue and take over Collinswood downtown area. So come join us. Come look me up. Get a book if you can, if you don't have one. It's going to be a great time, quite a few hours, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Also on that following week, and that's Saturday, October the 8th, at Media Books Incorporated in Claymont, Delaware. That's 2099A Philadelphia Pike, Claymont, Delaware, for the second Finance, Fitness, and Health Seminar. So those of you who don't have your tickets, you can go on Eventbrite, pull up Finance, Fitness, and Health Seminar, get your tickets. They're only $20. Again, we're going to be at Media Books Incorporated, 2099A Philadelphia Pike, Claymont, Delaware, from 3 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. We're going to have Dr. Paul Hopkins, doctor of naturopath, a chronic disease specialist, Tim and Angel Hunter, certified personal trainers, and myself. So, and also, when you come, bring in or wear your sneakers and workout gear. It's going to be that kind of day. We're going to work out. Tim and Angel are going to work us out for a whole hour, get some great exercise in and get some good information about how to eat, what to eat, the proper way to eat from Dr. Paul Hopkins, get a little financial tips from me. And then, of course, you're going to have at the end, you're going to have Tim and Angel. They're going to end the day with a nice workout and everything. So we had it a couple months ago. It was excellent. Beautiful day, so we want to welcome everyone else there again. And I'll tell you as we continue to move forward. But let's move right now to the topic of the day, which is budgeting. And again, it's very simple for some of you and very difficult for many. And the difficulty becomes more being something that you have to be disciplined and continue to maintain for a period of time. So we're going to talk about that. But the first thing that happens with budgeting is one major thing, influence. who and what has influences over your money. And if you've ever listened to my show or seen me at a workshop or anything of that nature, you know I always talk about influences over your money because that's a key area. That plays a major part in a lot of things we do with our finances and how we manage budget and everything's with our finances. So I think one of the things you need to take a look at seriously is who and what has influences over your money. And a lot of times I talk about a lot of things in terms of family influences, your gender, your race, your mood and your emotion, brain science, meaning who pours into it, society. So in just briefly talking about those four or five areas, family influences. And when I say family influences, I'm not just talking about your immediate family. I'm talking about not maybe your wife or your husband. I'm also talking about your parents, your relatives, and your immediate family in terms of your neighborhood family. Family could be friends, things of that nature, people who you spend a lot of time with or you, in a lot of ways, respect. And what happens then is that they also, the things that they're doing and not doing, can influence you. You don't know it. Sometimes it's subconsciously that they are influencing how you are, what you're doing, and how you're spending and managing and budgeting your money. And so it's important to know that. We talked about a little bit of mood and emotion. Some people, when they get down, they get a little depressed, they spend money. They go out and they do things. They spend money. They just do. They just buy. And so depending on who you are, some people, unfortunately, when they get down, some people, unfortunately, they maybe drink or something of that nature. They do other things. The reality of the matter is other people may spend money and just go out and just spend and buy things. So you have to know who you are again. Society. What am I talking about, society? I'm talking about when you listen to the radio, watching the TV, things of that nature, which in turn influences you. Because we listen to the radio, whether you're a man, you like to listen to sports radio, things of that nature, then what happens is, at the end of the day, whatever they're having or what advertising they have influences you. Ladies, as you watch TV, if you watch shows, and if you listen to radio shows, same thing. It influences you. The commercials are designed for you. If it's a woman's show or a show that is mainly watched by women, they're going to have commercials that apply to women, and they then want you to purchase and buy. If it's a sports talk show, whether it be on TV or radio, those commercials are geared towards men if they believe that more men watch those shows or listen to that show. So what happens is the advertising and advertisement is geared towards who they believe or their audience, their target audience. And so you have to be careful as you're doing it. So that's a very key point in terms of influences over your money and how you budget, how you manage, and the things that you do. Let's move on. Next, we want to talk about where are you? Think about it. Where are you today? And there's two things when we get to budgeting, and which is going to be real basic, but it's a difficult thing. Assets versus liability. Or as I like to say, assets is what you own. Liability is what you owe. So again, assets is what you own. Liability is what you owe. And so we want to make sure where you are. Things like in your asset column, things like bank accounts, stocks, your home, automobiles, furniture, things of that nature. And then what you have is you have liabilities, credit cards, car loans, school loans, mortgages, personal loans, other debts. So you need to understand what falls under your assets and what falls under your liability, or what you own compared to what you owe. Now, how does this, or why does this fit into a whole thing of budget? Well, what we want to do is we want to understand, again, where we are. And a lot of times, as we spend more time, if we spend the right amount of time, if we spend the right amount of time having a better understanding of where we are and what we need to do, and more importantly, why we are where we are, then we can start to listen to shows like mine, read books, do the necessary things that will help you to overcome where you are, particularly if you're in a place where you need to make a lot of adjustments, a lot of changes, or more importantly, if you are or have developed bad habits. How do we help you get out of those bad habits or eliminate those bad habits and or turn those bad habits into good habits. So that's what we want to do here when we're talking assets, what you own, versus liabilities, what you owe. And so ultimately, those things will fall under your budget. So let's move on. Let's move to number three. That was number two. Number three, what we'll do here is we'll continue to move, and I'll try to label them, and as we move forward, you'll see what we are and how we're going, and then we'll come back and we'll review. I always like to do a quick review. So number three would be the benefits of a budget. I've had people ask me in all settings, Derek, why do I need a budget? I know where I'm at. I know what I'm doing. I know how much money I make. I know how much money I spend. I know where I'm at. So why should I have a budget? It's a great question. Particularly if you believe. See, it's a great question if you believe that what you're doing is working, even though you don't have anything tangible to show or to help you keep records. So if you believe what you're doing is working, then why would you think you need to do anything else? Now, as long as things are moving smoothly, as long as the income is coming in, as long as there's no hiccups, there's no emergency, then you're probably okay. But we all need a budget. Businesses need a budget. Churches, individuals, we all need budgets. So I'm going to give you, here's some of the quick reasons. What are the benefits of a budget? One, knowing what's going on in your finances. Just because you know how much money you make and how much you spend in terms of what your bills are, what your expenses are, that doesn't necessarily mean you know what you're doing or what's going on with your finances. Financial control and discipline. I talked about that word discipline earlier. Controlling, but this says control and discipline. So you need to be able to control what's going on and be disciplined about it. And one of the best ways to control what's happening is to be disciplined. A guy once told me he was disciplined because it made his life easier. The more disciplined he was, the more easier things became in his life. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that your finances, one, are in control or you are in control of them, and more importantly, you're disciplined. It also can help you to identify your spending patterns, because that will go right back to your influences. Influences over your money, where, again, how you're spending and why you're spending. But this will give you a concept of pattern, and that's important. And then if you have additional money, extra money, cash flow, what are you actually doing with that additional extra cash flow? Where is it going? What are you doing with it? Is it benefiting you? Or do you just have it and you're using it, but you're not necessarily putting it to good use? So again, just a couple. The benefits of a budget. Knowing what is going on with your finances. Having financial control and being very disciplined. Identifying spending patterns. Understanding, just identifying how you're spending your money. And then again, extra money or cash flow, additional money at the end of the month. If you are having these things, then what's happening? If I have additional money or extra cash flow, what's actually happening with those dollars? Because if I need to know that if I'm having these additional money, is it being utilized properly? Am I putting the additional dollars that I have in a better place? So remember that. And we're going to come back to it. Preparing a budget. How do I prepare a budget? And we're going to really get deep into this, how do you prepare a budget. But I think what's important, before we get fancy with, you know, how do you prepare a budget? Or should I have it on my computer or spreadsheet or nice computer paper or a big-time budget from someone, how should I have it? How do I prepare it? How do I put it together? What's on it? What are the lines? What's line 1, 2, 3, 4? How do I understand some of the things I need to put on that budget in order to make sure that budget is a valid budget for me? What do I need to do with that? So we're going to talk about preparing a budget, an actual budget. But we're going to take a quick break. Again, this is Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. We're going to take a few minutes, take a quick break, listen to a little music. So here we go. Welcome back to Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. We were talking about preparing a budget. Today's topic is your budget or budgeting. And what I said was I was going to give you just a basic way of preparing your budget. Now, you can take it any way you want to take it. You can take it, you can get real, real technical. You can keep it real basic. You can write it down on a piece of paper and put it on your TV or put it on your refrigerator or put it on your dresser. I don't care where you put it. If you want to get real technical, you can go online. You can find one. You can go on my website and get one. You can go to the store and buy one. I don't care what you do. What I care is that you get one. But for those of you that just want to write one down and write down and start basic, you can go on my website and get that. But at the same time, what you can also do is that you can understand that where we are now is this is what you need to do. Let me give you an idea. So a basic budget, first and foremost, you need to have what you call your income, a line for your income. Just how much any income that you generate. So you can have fixed income, then you can have part-time work, you can have commissions, you can have alimony, wherever you're getting income from, child support, if that's what that's the situation you're in, then you write that down. So then what happens is, now you have that, and you know you have that. And because now you know you have that, then you move to my expenses. I've got my income. What's my expenses? Now, your expenses can go to your rent, your mortgage, obviously your wherever you live. That becomes your residence. So you have that. And then you have things like your utilities. So that would be gas, electric, telephone, water, fuel, whatever you need in your home to help you make your home run. So gas, electric, fuel, water, telephone, whatever you need to really help your household run, that's what you need. And you would put that under utilities. And let's say food next. So we're going to give that a heading, food. And you have groceries, household supplies, school lunches, and anything you put for lunches as well, even for yourself, because ultimately you may want to do that. So first you have your rent, mortgage. Then you have utilities. I just gave you a list that would go under your utilities. Then you have food. And then I gave you a list of what goes under food. And then you would have, let's say, credit cards. And you can put debt under that if you like. Then we're going to have medical expenses, prescriptions, transportation. So if you have a monthly car payment, gas, if you don't have a car payment, you still have gas or public transportation. So if you don't use your car or you don't have a car and you don't use that to go back and forth to work, you're using public transportation, then you have that. Then you also have auto insurance, particularly obviously if you have an automobile. You're going to have auto insurance. So you're going to have monthly car payments and or car auto payments, auto insurance payments, I'm sorry. Then you have gasoline, gas, obviously if you have a car, or public transportation, whatever it means, whether it be a cab, whether it be train, whether it be bus, whatever you use to get there, whether you carpool, you're paying for that. Then you're going to have household goods, furniture, things like clothes, installment loans, insurance, things of that nature, education, tuition, whether it be private school tuition, or Catholic school tuition, whatever tuition for your kids, school for you for tuition. You're going to have uniforms and any other thing. If you're going to college or whatever other education that you're paying for, any other level of education that you may have that you're paying for, that you're currently paying for, then you put that down. And that's a part of it. Recreation, vacation, sports, movie, cable television. So you want to put that down. Dining out, anything like that. Now, I could have put this first, but I'm just putting it in. I'm just going down, and you can put it first depending on where you are. Then I have contributions, charitable donations, church tithes and offerings, and any other contributions you may or may make. So again, you're talking about church, tithes and offerings, and then you may have charitable donations, any kind of donations you constantly make or you make during the course of either 1 month. Maybe it's not some way that you do it consistently, but you may make charitable contributions other than your tithes and offerings at your home church. And then you may have other expenses, daycare, babysitting, pet expenses, your 401k, your investments, your stocks, whatever you may have, your retirement plan. If you're working for a nonprofit, maybe you have a 403b or something of that nature. If you're working for another organization or a for-profit, you may be contributing to a 401k. So whatever's coming out of your expenses or whatever's coming out of your income, that should be under expenses. Whatever is coming out, particularly if it's coming out on a fixed basis, every single month is coming out, it should be under your expense side. Now, everything changes. Some things change. Even under the fixed, meaning that something's coming out every month, your mortgage doesn't change or rent. Your car payments doesn't change. Your car insurance won't change. Maybe your daycare services won't change. Maybe if your income is the same, maybe your tithes and offerings won't change, or at least your tithes won't change. So there's certain things that maybe your tuition, your kid's school tuition, probably doesn't change. But things like gas, electric, certain things change depending on how you use it, how often you use it, things that age. So your credit cards may or may not use, may change. Medical and prescriptions, depending on how often you need them. So things change. Even though they're there, sometimes things change. We know that it's going to happen. There will be an expense for that. Everything we talked about, there will be an expense for that. But they may change on a monthly basis, as opposed to some of them being obviously being totally fixed, as a car payment or mortgage or rent would be totally fixed. So there you go right there. You have a budget. And I attempted to do it slowly so you can write it down. So I will go over them again. So you first and foremost, you put your income down, because that way it tells you what you're working with. So you put your income down, you have it there, and regardless of where you get your income from, you put that down. And you put it down, and then you add it all up, that's your income. And then you have another side for your expenses. And then we talked about mortgage, rent, utilities, food, credit card expenses, medical expenses, transportation, furniture and household goods, education, recreation, contributions, and other expenses. And we talked about other expenses being like daycare, babysitter, pet expenses, and retirement planning, 403B, 401K, wherever you're contributing to. But again, all of those become expenses. Now, that's a basic 101 budget. You take your income. You add up your expenses, and once you take your income and you add up your expenses, then that's what your balance is. So obviously, if your income exceeds your expenses, then that's a great thing. But remember, we talked about earlier understanding where that cash is now. If you have excess, what do you need to do with it? When we talked about extra money, when we talked about the benefits of a budget, and we talked about extra money and cash flow, if your income is exceeding your expenses, then you have cash flow. And what are you doing with that additional cash flow, that extra money? How is that additional cash flow and everything being managed? And that's what we want to make sure you're doing. So that was the budget. That's a budget, okay? And then you subtract that. Now, let's go back. If your expenses are exceeding your income, if all of those things we talked about, if that adds up and it exceeds your income, then we understand now we have a problem. We have a different kind of problem. The first problem was kind of good. We're just not managing it properly. We're not managing the extra income, the cash flow. We're not managing that properly. But that's, we can work on that. The other problem now, if your expenses are exceeding your income, that's a different problem. Because now you don't have enough money. So now you're juggling. Or now you're using the old saying, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. So now that's an issue that we need to address and need to deal with. And how do we handle that? And so that's the two spectrums. One, if your income is exceeding your expenses, you're in a good place, but you need to make sure that you're handling the cash flow an excess of money properly. The other end is obviously if your expenses are exceeding your income, then we need to work on it, because there's only two things you can do when that happens. That's increase your income or decrease your expenses, or a little of both. So that's a basic budget that I just gave you. You can write that down, put it on a piece of paper, follow it, put it somewhere, follow it every single month you do it. And then we're going to review that. So again, you're on the line with Derek T. Billups Sr., Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. Remember, everyone, this Saturday, October the 1st, I'll be at Collingswood. I'll be in Collingswood, New Jersey for the Collingswood Book Festival, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Collingswood, New Jersey, right there on Haddonfield Avenue. Those of you that are familiar with Collingswood, New Jersey, we'll be there. It's going to be a great evening. A bunch of authors as well as artists and other activities going on. So bring your family, bring your friends, come out and see us again, 9 o'clock a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m., and maybe a little longer. The weather's great. It's going to be a great time out there in Collingswood, New Jersey for the Collingswood Book Festival. So join us. And then the following Saturday, October the 8th, from 3 o'clock p.m. to 7 p.m. at Media Books Incorporated, right there on 2099A Philadelphia Pike in Claymont, Delaware, we're going to have the Finance, Fitness, and Health Seminar with Dr. Paul Hopkins, Tim and Angel Hunter, and myself. This is our second time doing it. We had a great time 2 months ago at the Wyndham Garden Hotel when we did it. We're doing it again here now at the bookstore at Media Books Incorporated at 2099A Claymont, Delaware, Philadelphia Pike in Claymont, Delaware, 3 to 7 p.m. Join us. Bring or wear your sneakers and your workout clothes. It's going to be that kind of day. Tim and Angel Hunter are going to work you out at the end of the day. Dr. Paul is going to talk to you about some of the proper ways to eat, when to eat, how to eat, what you should eat. I'll throw a little financial things in there, and then we're going to have Tim and Angel Hunter work us out again. Great time. So join us on those two. We're going to take a short break. Put some music on and do a short break. Where again, you're here with Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio.
So I may know your will. The closer I get to you, the promise shall be revealed. The promise shall be revealed.
Your voice, oh God,
by now
I may know your will.
I'm coming closer.
Closer I get to you.
Closer I get to you, oh God.
The promise shall be revealed. Your voice, oh God.
So now that I'm standing,
I may know your will.
You begin to show.
Teach Me Your Voice. You're on Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. I want to give everyone a heads up. Starting next Sunday, October the 2nd, we're going to start our 8-week Financial Fitness Challenge. So remember that. Next week, starting October the 2nd, the first Sunday in October, for 8 weeks, it will take us all the way through November, the Financial Fitness Challenge, an 8-week program. So be prepared to focus with us and come on, join the challenge, and be prepared. So again, we're talking here about the budgeting, your budget or budgeting. And we talked about a few things, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to move right to it. So we just got finished giving everyone a structured budget, something that you can use, something we believe is very tangible, something that you can just take with you, use it. If you wrote it down, that's great. If not, then, again, you can go on my website at www.f4ff.net, and you can download a budget from there and utilize it. So we'll make sure that you have a budget. But, again, we just gave you something basic, something to use. The next becomes tracking your spending. Because what we talked about with the first example was, if your income exceeds your expenses, now you need to understand where the extra money is going. Why don't I have a cash flow when I know that my income is exceeding my expenses? So that's what you need to do then. You need to start tracking your spending. And anyone who's listened to me on my show or see me in a workshop or anything knows that I talk about tracking your spending. I mean, this is not anything new. I mean, this is not this great idea. This is something that anyone that talks about budgeting and money management and things of that nature will tell you, that tracking your spending is a necessary, I use for lack of a better word, it's a necessary evil. Now, this is also tedious, and you need to be disciplined in order to do it, but you need to do it. This is definitely something that needs to be done if for some reason you find yourself in that position where your income, which is a good position in a lot of ways, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If your income is exceeding your expenses, that's great. That's great. That means a couple of things. One, it means that you're making a great income, but you're still staying within your means. That's a great situation. There are a lot of people that make great incomes and still their income or their expenses exceed their income. So we don't want you to be there if you're making 80, 90, 100,000, or even less than that. What you're doing is you're staying within your living within in your means. That's a great thing. That's a great discipline within itself. So we don't want you to misunderstand what we're saying. However, we want you to understand if for some reason you're spending that time and you're doing all the things which is living within your means, but then for somehow you're mismanaging at the end. So we want you to track your spending. You take a sheet, anything, write it down. Write everything that you spend your money on in that day except for your actually budget items. See, the problem is not your budget items. The problem is not your budget items because you already have it budgeted. And you're already exceeding that with your income. The problem is after you take care of your budgeted items. That's where the problem comes in. So that's why we want you to track your spending. So we want you to track everything you spend. And if you can keep a receipt, keep a receipt. Now, you can go into the store. I don't care if you buy a soda. I don't care if you buy a bag of potato chips. You ask for a receipt because that then will help you to keep track of it. Now, you might say to yourself, well, a bag of chips or a soda or a sandwich or a slice of pizza or anything like that, you know, a pair of socks, I don't care what it is. If it's not a part of your budget, then it becomes a part of your problem. So we need to make sure we understand where the problem is. That's the only way you'll be able to fix it, by tracking your spending, and you have to do it. I used to say a minimum of 2 weeks. You have to do it for a month because that's the only time you're going to really see where that money's going. So what we want you to do is we want you to track that spending. You track that spending, it'll give you a great idea, a great indication, more importantly, a great indication of where the excess of money is going. So if you know that your income is exceeding your income, but then you say, why is there so much month left at the end of my money? All the things I'm doing, I'm still not having enough money, even though I know my income supersedes or exceeds my expenses. So track your spending. Now, you can also track your spending on the other end. If for some reason your expenses exceed your income, then we know that what you can do as well then is obviously two things. You need to decrease your expenses, but increase your income if you can, or do a little of both. But you also contract your spending. The budget, again, handles the fixed areas of expenses. But there's somewhere else maybe that the money is being mishandled somewhere, and you want to find that. You want to kind of plug that hole. Somewhere along the line, there may be a hole that you don't see. You know, you drive your car and there's a leak in it. You know, there's a nail or something in your tire, and air is always leaking out. And you don't know that, and, you know, every other day you have to put air in. And finally, you take it somewhere and you say, okay, I have to put air in this tire, and then you find out, why am I putting air in this tire every other day? And the mechanic says, well, you have a nail in, a small nail in. I take the nail out and plug it up. Now there's no more leak. Now there's no more leak. So what we want to do, though, and that's some nice music there coming right on in. But what we want to do is now you have no more leak, and because you don't have any leak, now you can drive better. Well, it's the same way. If you plug up that leak in terms of your budget, now you can see where your money is going. Now you can use your money wisely, and now it can work better for you. And now you can utilize it in the manner in which you need to utilize it, and it's not leaking. It's not leaving. So we want to make sure of that. So tracking your spending is a great way of handling things and managing things in a lot of ways. So then we want to talk about in terms of there's what we call a little pyramid. And in that pyramid, you know, like a little triangle, and in the triangle you have the bottom part, which is the base, and you have the middle, and you have that pointy part. And what we do is that that base part is where your needs are. And that's where the majority of your income needs to be going, where the needs are. Then you can get the needs and wants. That's the middle part. And then you can move up to where you have the wants. So if you secure that base, that foundation, which we call the needs, then you can move up a little bit, be a little more freer with the needs and the wants, and then move up to ultimately to the wants. But that foundation has to be solid. It has to be solid. Because if the foundation is not solid, just like on a house and anything else, it's going to fall. Eventually, it's going to fall. It may stay up for a little while, but if that foundation is not there, it's going to fall. So we want to make sure you get that pyramid there, and you draw a little even line, you draw a line there that has the needs at the bottom that gives you the base, that firm foundation. Then you move in the middle there where it's needs and wants. You get a little bit more, and then you move up to your wants area. So that's what's important there, to make sure that you have a clear and a crystal clear understanding of that, because that will help you then as well make sure that you're maintaining where your money is being spent. Influences that we talked about earlier. Influences on your money, what we talked about earlier. Then we talked about identifying your spending patterns. So again, influences over your money and spending patterns, will come into that whole pyramid. Because if more of your money is being spent on wants and less on needs, and then you find yourself having some issues, cash flow issues, then obviously you got to look at where your spending patterns are. You have to understand or follow where your influences are. Those have a direct bearing on that pyramid. It has a direct bearing. Your spending patterns and your influences have a direct correlation to where your cash flow is and where you're spending. So it's important and vital that you have a better understanding of that. So we want to make sure that those things are in place. Then we're going to talk about, you know, your guidelines. When I talk about budgeting guidelines, meaning, and any, again, what I try to do is not to get so sophisticated. I like to keep it simple. And this is information you can get anywhere. And maybe you hear it well from me. Maybe you don't. Maybe you hear it well from someone else. But whoever you hear it well from, that's what we want you to get it first. We want you to get it. We want you to have it. And that's important to us. That's vitally important to us. So, again, in your budgeting guidelines, things like housing, transportation, other, debt, savings. We talked about that. So as you're budgeting, 35% of your budget should be going to housing. 25% should be going to transportation. And we're talking about transportation, what we talked about earlier, remember. You can have a car. If you have a car, you need to have car payments maybe. If you don't own a car, you're still going to have car insurance. So that's transportation. Maybe you don't have a car. So maybe you catch public transportation to work, whether it be a train or a car, or a bus, I'm sorry, whether it be a train or a bus, or even a car. Maybe you're a carpooler. Maybe you don't have a car, but you carpool. But so you still have to contribute. You have to contribute to toll, you have to contribute to gas, or you're paying your bus fare, and you're paying your train fare. That adds up. So that's also should be a part of your budgetary item under expenses. Then we talked about others. That other goes into food, entertainment, things that we talked about, maybe babysitting, 401k, those kind of things. No, we'll talk about that in the end. So that's a 20%. Then we talked about debt, actual debt, whether it be some forms of loans, credit cards, things that you continually have to pay but that you call debt. And they vary, and it varies all over. And then we get to savings. One of the key things is understanding paying yourself first in this whole budget. That's another topic in itself, but you need to pay yourself first. But it needs to be a part of that. But then, as we mentioned again, areas that you can save. If you work for a nonprofit, maybe you have a 401b, a 403b. Maybe you have something like that that you're contributing to. If you work for a profit corporation, maybe you have a 401k, so maybe you're contributing to that. So maybe you're contributing, if you don't have any of those things, maybe you are contributing to an annuity yourself or some kind of savings vehicle that you're taking money out and say, you should be saving. Now, if you can't start with 10%, then start with 1%, 2%. Because it's at the beginning, it's really not about the amount. It's about the system. Saving and accumulating money has absolutely nothing to do with interest. It has everything to do with a systematic way in which you do things. Let me repeat that. Saving and accumulating money has absolutely nothing to do with interest or the return, but it has everything to do with a systematic way in which you do things. Am I saying you shouldn't be looking to get a return or interest? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that systematically you have to do things systematically, which ultimately will contribute to the way you get a return. So you must have a percentage of your money going to housing. A percentage of that money also goes to transportation. A percentage goes to others, where we talked about entertainment, food, utilities, things that apply there to help you run your home, debt, whether it be credit cards, loans, and then, of course, you have savings. So that's what we want you to understand. So your guidelines there help you to understand where your actual money is going. So if you're spending too much in saving, too high of a percentage in savings, too high of a percentage in debt, too high of a percentage somewhere, then something else is going to be lacking. So remember that. Again, we'll get that information to you. This is Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. We're going to take one more break, then we're going to come back in this, close this show, and be ready for next week. But you're doing a great job. Listen up. We've got a good, nice, good word for you right now. Nice, good break for you.
Come on, y'all ready for this one? Listen.
Because you're rich,
yeah.
We offer praise to you. And the name,
come on now.
The language that can be saved.
Sometimes it gets heavy.
Come on.
Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. Stand up, everyone. Let's finish this. Okay, we're dealing with our budget. And I just want to go right to it. I got about 6 or 7 minutes left. And so I want to end this and just make sure that you understand where we are in terms of how important the budget is, how important it is in the foundation of what you're attempting to do from a financial standpoint. This is as important as anything else. So I want to make sure that you have a great understanding of this. And at the end, I want to say that you stick to your budget. Be determined. Exercise willpower. Be prepared to compromise. There's some things you're going to have to do and change up. Be prepared to do that. Make a list. And try to avoid what we call impulse buying. Make a list. Avoid what they call retail therapy, which means you got to go out and just shop, buy, and things of that nature. Comparison shop. I know we all do it. You need to continue to do that. Don't run away from that. Pay yourself, but also give yourself an allowance. Paying yourself doesn't necessarily mean that's the same as giving yourself an allowance. Paying yourself is pay yourself. You can do what you need to do with it or want to do with it. Giving yourself allowance is allowing you to know and say, stay within a boundary. Some things that you're going to do. And I think what we've done today is to try to give you, not try, I believe we did, we have, give you an idea of some of the things you need to be aware of. One was the influence over your money. Who influences your money? Your decision. Where are you today? Where are you today? Do you have a budget? What are the benefits of a budget? Knowing what's going on in your finance. Having financial control and discipline. Identifying spending patterns. Understanding that you have extra money and cash flow. Do you have a budget? Do you know how to prepare a budget? Have you ever prepared a budget? Do you track your spending? Do you understand how important tracking your spending is? Do you understand the pyramid in terms of needs and wants and wants? Do you have an understanding of that? That pyramid, that small part at the bottom or that big part at the bottom, which we call the base, that's needs. Then in the middle, needs and wants, and then at the top, wants. Budget guidelines, understanding, 30%, 35% housing, 20% transportation, 20% others, 15% debt, 10% savings. What's others? Others are like food, utilities, entertainment, your debt, credit card. Loans and savings, paying yourself first or on your job, 403B, 401K, pension programs, IRA, annuity, things of that nature that will allow you to save and put away money. And so that also is a deterrent. If you try to take money out early, it's a deterrent. And then last but not least, stick to your budget. But even before sticking to your budget, write that budget down. Have it tangible. Have it visible. Put it somewhere on your refrigerator, upstairs, on your mirror. I don't care where you put it, on your phone, on your computer, somewhere you will use it, look at it, use it, and make it a part of your daily life for some people, and more importantly, if not your daily, at least your monthly life. But stick to your budget. Be determined and stick to it. Be prepared to compromise. You may have to make some changes. Make a list to help you avoid that impulse buying. Compare and shop. Compare and then shop. Not just comparison shop, but compare and then shop. Give yourself an allowance. Those are the things that help you with a budget, help you be disciplined, help you to stay on it, help you to avoid some pitfalls that maybe other people do. Just giving you a heads up, again, starting next Sunday, October the 2nd, we're going to start our Financial Fitness Challenge, an 8-week program. So those of you be a part of it, join us. We're going to do it every week, every Sunday for the following 8 weeks. It'll take us right through November. So that's going to be a great time. But this Saturday coming up, October the 1st, we're going to be at Collingswood, New Jersey for the Collingswood Book Fair or Big Book Festival. Many other artists will be there. Artists, all kinds of people, authors, artists, just a great time. If the weather's great, then we're going to be outside. We're going to take over downtown Collingswood, and we're going to be on the streets, and everyone will be able to come through and just walk up and down the streets, in the street, on the sidewalk, buying books, buying art, just all kinds of things. It's going to be a great time. If for some reason the weather's bad, meaning rain, we'll be right inside Collingswood, New Jersey's high school. It's Collingswood High School. So not even far from Haddonfield, so you'll know it. Look it up. We're going to have a great time. I was there last year, so it's going to be a great time. So join us. So what you have now is that we have the budget next week. We're going to talk about some things, and we're going to start off with that financial fitness challenge. It's been a great 3 months. We started in July. Then we had August. We skipped 1 week or so, and now we have September. So I'm looking forward for the last quarter of the year in October, November, and December. Okay, so I'm really looking for a great time. The support has been awesome. You guys have been listening to me, following up, following through, asking questions. I really love it. And so just make sure that you join us again October the 2nd. We're going to start our first week of our Financial Fitness Challenge, which is an 8-week program. So you're now on Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. Have a blessed evening and a blessed week.